good to see everyone here this evening. If you remember last week, last week's lesson, we talked about Jesus taught with a young man. Now, if you remember, we looked at that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. We also found that in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. And I said also you would find it in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 23. And if you remember some of the things that we said about this young man that Jesus had talked with, we said that this young man was, he wanted eternal life. And secondly, we went on to say that he found the very source of eternal life. Thirdly and sadly, he refused eternal life. He found it and he refused it. But this evening, from these same passages, we're going to continue to look at this. I gave the title of my lesson last week. I gave the wrong title. I said that it was a good-looking man according to the world. That was the wrong title. The title really is, he had it all according to the world. He had it all according to the world. But last Sunday when I was leaving out there, outside, going towards the door, Zach stopped me and said, "Hey, you're going to be preaching on me, huh? A good-looking man. You'll get it after a while." As you look at those passages in each book, there are some things you can learn about this man. One thing that stands out about the man that Jesus had a discussion with is that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, Matthew points out that he was a young man. That's point number one. Is that he had his youth. That he was a young man. He had his youth. I don't know about you, but from time to time when I wake up in the morning time and I sit there on the bed and I think, man, wouldn't it be nice to be 20 again? Or wouldn't it be nice to be 17 again? And you know, and sometimes I'm sitting there, I'm watching the young kids out playing football and basketball. I'm thinking, man, I used to be out there with them playing. Wouldn't it be nice just for a little while be 20 again and get to run with the young people? To be young. Here, Matthew in his gospel, he identified, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 20, this man is being young. He doesn't say whether he was 19, 20, 35, or 37. He just referred to as young. When I stopped, I looked up the word young, then Strong's Dictionary, it says that of youth under 40. So he was a young man. He had his youth. He had his youth. I don't know whether you've noticed or not that we live in a world where there's a big emphasis placed upon youth and looking young. That's important. If you pick up a magazine and you flip through the pages, each and every page as you flip through there, you see some young person or some older person who's had everything done to their body to try to look young. Because this world says, if you're young, you got it going on. If you're young, you have it all. In the world of Hollywood, those who are young, they got employment. But as you get older in Hollywood, and you've done all the fixing up you can do to look young, eventually they kick you on the curb. You out of there. Because this world makes a big thing and places a lot on youth, looking young. Millions and millions of dollars are spent on looking young. Here's a man who had his youth. So according to the world, if you look at this man, you would say he had it all. This is just one thing that he has. He has his youth. He's young. What does the world say to young people today? You live the way you want to live. Enjoy all you can. Do all you can do. But when you get older, then maybe think about some type of religion. But you're young. Don't waste it. Enjoy it. Live loose. See, according to the world, this man that Jesus talked with, they would say, he had it all. He had his youth. The Bible has a lot to say about being young. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, start around about verse number 8 and work your way backwards. Around about 8 and 9, the writer talks about dying. Back to the dust. But if you keep on going backwards, he talks about being older, getting older, slowing down. But if you even go all the way back before that to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, he says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. But see, God is concerned about those who are young, those who have their youth. He says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. The Bible does not teach you to live any way you want to while you're young. And when you're old and decrepit and can't move, then serve God. Here was a young man that Jesus talked with. He had his youth. He came to Jesus. He had an opportunity to follow Jesus and have salvation and do that which was right. But we know how the story ends. So from a world standard, here's a man who has it all. He's young. He has his youth. Strong. The Bible goes on to say, and look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. In Psalm 119:9, the Bible still has something else to say about being young. It says, Psalms 119, verse number 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. Not by living in the way you want to and forgetting all about God, but clinging to the word of God and following it. This man that Jesus talked with, he was young. He had his youth. He had the opportunity to follow Jesus and do things that was right. Those in here who are 50 or above, probably him. Can easily say that time moves swiftly, doesn't it? I think it was Hubert the other night who mentioned James 4, verse 14. Life is but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. It's here, it's gone, it's moving swiftly. For those in here who are somewhat young, in no time, life moves. It's gone. You go from a baby to older to young to much older. And it's gone. So that philosophy that says about the world is wait till you're really old and then serve God. Before you know it, time is gone. And secondly, who's to say you're going to live to be older? Who says you're going to live to be 60, 70, 80, or 90? Here we have a young man who had the opportunity to serve God, to follow Jesus, and stay chose not to. Maybe not only was it his possession that kept him from following Jesus, maybe also too, he got to thinking, maybe possibly, maybe later on. Don't know. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 through 2, 2 Kings chapter 22. Verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Josiah became king at an early age, 8. And he grew up as a king. He's a young man. And the Bible says that he did what was right in the sight of all those around him. No, he did right in the sight of all of his friends. No, he did what was right as a young man in the sight of God. He had his youth. He used it in striving to lead God's people in the thing that was right. But as you go back and you look at this young man that followed, that came to Jesus and fell down on his knees and asked Jesus about eternal life, he had his youth. He was young. But when you look at it from a worldly standard, he had it all. What else did he have? Well, let's just go down the list and look at what else he had. Well, secondly, he had wealth. He had wealth. Now you stop and think about this. Here's a man. He has his youth. He has his wealth. Why in the world does he need Jesus? Says the world. From a worldly standpoint, they would say, why in the world are you trying to follow Jesus? You have all the money you ever needed. You have your youth. Why don't you just live? Enjoy life. He had his youth and he had wealth. Matthew chapter 19, verse 22 speaks of his wealth, his possessions. Mark chapter 10, verse 22 speaks of his possessions. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 23, the writer says, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This man just didn't have pocket change. Okay? Very rich. Very wealthy. He had it all, people. According to the world standard, he had his youth. He had wealth. Youth and wealth combined together, there's power. What else did he need? The world encourages you to today to get all the wealth you can at any risk, because that's what makes you important in this world. At any cost, at any risk, you become wealthy, because if you want to be important in this world, you be young and you be wealthy. And you got the power right there. People will respect you. They will like you. They will exalt you. You know, this man had it all, according to the world. Because of his possessions, his wealth, he was willing to lose his soul by not following Jesus. You know, our wealth in this life only lasts for a little while compared to eternity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. He didn't understand that, did he? His first love in his life was his possessions. Because the Bible says when Jesus told him to take all that he had and sell it and give it to the poor, that he went away sorrowful, sad, because he had great possessions. Just the opposite of the eunuch there in Acts chapter 8. When he heard the gospel, he went away happy and joyful. The world would say to this young man, hold your head up, man, you have everything. You have your youth, you have your wealth. What else do you need? You can buy your way through life. See, with wealth, you can sometime be above the legal system. See, with wealth, it makes you better than others, they would say. This man had it all. He had it all, according to the world. But what does Jesus say? Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Starting at verse number 34. When he had called the disciples to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Big question there. What shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I mean, this young, wealthy man who did not follow Jesus, who turned down the opportunity to follow Jesus, he had all those things. He has wealth, he has youth, but what has he profited at the very end? Absolutely nothing. But see, the world says different. The world says he has it going for him. He has everything. He's young. He's wealthy. That's the philosophy, people, that's being pumped through the TVs, through the radio, through the magazines, through communication. That if you're young and if you're wealthy, you have it all. And that's not so. First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, start at verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Timothy doesn't beat around the bush. He says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall take nothing out. So many have strayed away from the truth because of their desires to become rich. Is it a sin to be wealthy? Is it a sin to be rich? No. Is it a sin to be in love with your money and worship your money? Yes. Here's a man we read about here that Jesus met that was young and wealthy, and his wealth came before following God. There's the sin. He did not want to separate himself from his wealth. He had it all. If you look at it from the standard of the world. He's young. He's wealthy. Why in the world would he want to be following Jesus? A man who didn't even have a place to lay his head. A man who never owned a house. A man who had very little. That's the way the world would see it. In Psalms chapter 20, verse number 7, there's a warning there. The writer says, not to put your trust in chariots and horses, but in God. Not to put your trust in material things, but in God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus says, speaking of treasure, he says, where's your treasure at? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Isn't it great to know that God is not partial? That Galatians chapter 2, verse number 6, teaches that God is not partial. That I can make it to heaven if I live faithful and follow his word. I don't have to be wealthy. I'm somebody in the eyes of God because I'm following his words. But the world says I'm a nobody because I'm not wealthy. The world says, look at you. You don't have the things that makes you a somebody, which is youth and wealth. And the third one is power. That's where we're going next. These are the three things that the world says make you great. It's to be young, to be powerful, and to have wealth. Just watch the television. See the people that they exalt that's so great. Most of them are young. Wealthy. Thirdly and last, as we look at this young man, we see things that he had that seemed as though he had it all, according to the world. Thirdly and last, in Luke chapter 18, verse number 18, the Bible says that he was a ruler. That he was a ruler. The word ruler there from the Greek carries with it first in rank, power, chief ruler, magistrate, prince. Some have suggested that maybe he was ruler of the synagogue. But as the case may have been, he had some type of power. He's identified there as ruler. So what did he really have in life? He's young. He's wealthy. Has some social status, you could say, because he was a ruler. Why in the world would he have been talking with Jesus? From a world standpoint, they would say, why? This man has everything. But he didn't have eternal life. We know that because that's the question they asked Jesus. How can I have eternal life? Jesus tells them how they have eternal life, and he turns it down. But from a worldview, he doesn't need Jesus because he has it all. Oh, he's young. He's wealthy. He has some social status, some power. He was a ruler. Some verses we covered last week. Acts 26, 26 through 29. King Agrippa, man of power, has an opportunity to obey the gospel, turns it down. Acts chapter 24, verse 25 through 27. Felix hears Paul preach on temperance, righteousness, and the judgment to come. Tells him to come back at some more convenient time. Turns it down. These men were men of power who had an opportunity to obey the gospel, but they chose not to. Men of power had an opportunity to be an example before the others, but they chose not to. I kind of wondered, had this young, rich ruler, had he obeyed the gospel and followed Jesus, how many other people would he have influenced? By his example. He had it all according to the standard of the world. Oh, he's young. He's wealthy. Has some power. You know, usually when I think about people in positions for power, I think about politicians. They're hounding you down for your vote so they can get to Washington and exert their powers, usually for that which is not right. And then I think of the denomination of preachers who get these huge, large congregation, and they become the head of it, and they demonstrate their power. And then sadly, within the Lord's church, I think of men who have turned their backs on truth in order to have power. Men who are leading hundreds and hundreds of people away from the gospel because of their hunger for power. This man that Jesus met, he had everything you would think. He's young. He's wealthy. He has power. But we see he lacked something. He did not have eternal life. How about you this evening? As you sit here, are you a Christian? Don't be like me, young man. Don't leave here sad and sorrowful. You may say, well, I'm not wealthy. But see, it could be something else other than money that's keeping you from following Jesus. If you leave here without obeying the gospel, something is separating you, keeping you from making the right decision. Whatever it is, and if you die like that, it's not going to be useful in hell. in the spirit of love, be obedient to the gospel. Hear and turn away from your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, and be baptized, having your sin washed away. And then you won't be like this young man who left sorrow. For you can leave here this evening happy as you can be, because you've made the right decision to obey God's words. You may be here this evening as a Christian and there's sin in your life. Repent of it. Turn from it. You make the right decision. Do the right thing. Don't be like the young man. He has youth. He has wealth. He has power. But the very thing that he needed, he did not have: eternal life.